Diary, December 1890. Lynn, Massachusetts, December 15th to 18th, 1890. Lynn, Massachusetts. We left Denver's about 10 o'clock a.m., called on Mrs. Emma Morrison and said goodbye to her. She felt disappointed that I could not visit her, but I was altogether too weary to do the visiting many hoped I could do. There were two meetings Wednesday and Thursday evenings. I must speak in Lynn and learn the best route that would take us to Washington, D.C., purchase our tickets, and have everything in readiness for the journey to Washington. Lynn, Massachusetts. I have felt drawn out in earnest petitions to God all day. In the early morning, I wrote 9 pages before breakfast and wrote many pages through the day. I spoke in the hall to a good congregation. I felt most intensely upon some points, especially the inauguration of Christ on the banks of Jordan to his appointed work. The dedication of Christ was not to be mingled with any human agency. What an event was this, Christ entering upon his work with the seal of divinity upon him. The baptismal scene at the hand of John was followed by Jesus walking out of the water and offering his prayer to his Father. The heavens were opened and the Spirit descended upon him, assuming the form of a dove, in appearance like burnished gold, and the voice of the Father was heard in recognition of the offering of Christ to God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3, verse 17. This was only a faint representation of that which was enacted in heaven. If the curtain could be rolled back and mortal eyes strengthened to behold within the gates the scenes taking place there, they would see all the angels and archangels, all thrones and dominions, and principalities and powers in heaven, standing in awe and reverence, beholding the work in heaven and its counterpart in faint lines taking place upon the earth. The Lord God of heaven never was more highly exalted before the universe than on this occasion. The worlds which had not fallen beheld and admired and adored, for never had the love of God been so expressed as on this occasion, when his love was found so deep and rich and broad that it gave up to the world his only begotten Son, to the great work of bringing the character of God before the world, that men might behold it in him. Never had heaven so great rejoicing as when the tabernacle of heaven was set up among men. Jesus said of himself, "Him hath God the Father sealed." John 6, verse 27. And he declared himself as him whom the Father hath sanctified. John 10, verse 36. And sent into the world as his divine representative, our mediator, full of grace and truth. Ask Isaiah who he is, and he will tell you. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Will the world behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? 1 John 3, verse 1. It is important that we have some higher and broader ideas than we have hitherto had of the great work of intercession in this, the great Day of Atonement. Now is the very time for human pride to be laid in the dust. Now is the time for contrition of soul. I speak to every church in our land. Now humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may have the pleasure of lifting you up. Confess your sins before God, that they may go beforehand to judgment. Confess your sins, that they may be blotted out. Do not hide them. Do not cover them. For then they will be made public to the universe. Approach God in the spirit of the poor publican who prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Luke 18, verse 13, and you will be brought into the audience chamber of the Most High. If the curtain could be rolled back, you would see the Savior himself at the altar of incense, having in his hand the golden censer. In response to your prayers, he answers, I will pray the Father for you, that your transgressions shall be forgiven, your sins pardoned. I will give you rest. Oh, how ashamed we ought to be for our unbelief and needless anxiety. You see Jesus as your advocate. It is court week with us. We have a case pending in the court of heaven, and when Jesus takes up your case, you need not doubt. Your suit is presented to the Father and is indeed gained. Confession, humbling of the soul, is the only position of safety and of hope for any of us. There stands your representative before the Father, to pour mercy and grace and truth into your soul. You are accepted in the Beloved, and should praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice. Lynn, Massachusetts. In the forenoon, wrote letters to different ones at Battle Creek. In the afternoon, received a number of visitors. One sister is a believer. Her husband does not believe the truth. He at first opposed her, but he senses a great change in her, and this has a convincing power with him. She went home from the meeting Tuesday evening and related that which Sister White had spoken. The words made a deep impression on her mind and were repeating themselves to her over and over during the night season. You have placed finite beings where God should be, and that everything was set in operation by Satan to divert the minds from God and place them upon human beings. When Christ was born and laid in a manger, there was a wonderful movement in heaven. All the worlds that were created through Jesus Christ were watching with intense interest his reception in the world. They saw that no preparation had been made among his nation to receive him, and angels of heaven came to the plains of Bethlehem and proclaimed the advent of the world's Redeemer. The plains of Bethlehem were peopled with the heavenly host, who sang anthems of praise to his glory. The wise men from the east were guided by the heavenly angels, which appeared to them as a luminous star, and when they found Jesus, they brought unto him costly offerings of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the enemy has misplaced and turned into various channels in selfish gratification the offerings which should come to the Lord's treasury. Means are being diverted from the true purpose God designed, and, from the lesser up to the extravagant gifts, they flow to finite beings to gratify selfish indulgence. If all the rivulets from children and youth and from members of the church were to flow in the proper channel, as the Lord designed they should, there would be a supply in the treasury. The real needy would be blessed, and the hungry fed, and the naked clothed. The Lord's own entrusted gifts would flow back to their original source in thank offerings, in sin offerings, in trespass offerings, and in gratitude offering for the great, immeasurable gift of the Son of God to our world. Why are children and those of mature age educated to put their inventive powers to work to contrive gifts for one another, while the Lord God of heaven, who has made the gift of himself to the world in his only begotten Son, is left out of the question? How the Lord is dishonored in the celebration of Christmas. How he is robbed, both of talents, of means, and of thanksgiving and praise which should well up in every heart and flow forth from every voice. Let the thank offerings come in, small and large. Let the treasury be well filled. Jesus is the gift to the world, and everything should be conducted in this channel, to make known Christ to the world, to send to every tongue and nation the knowledge of his salvation, his invitations of mercy, his adorable love. But the devil's work is to intercept the rays of light coming from the Father to our world and set them to flowing in human channels, to indulge and gratify earthly desires, to please the vanity and to glorify the creature rather than the Creator. I spoke Wednesday night. The rainstorm prevented many from attending, for the windows of heaven seemed to be opened and pouring out its treasures of rain. I had much freedom in speaking from John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.